Earlier this month, as part of its budget implementation bill, the federal government announced it was canceling funding to the Experimental Lakes area in northern Ontario. The Experimental Lakes have been a world-class freshwater research center for over 40 years, conducting groundbreaking research on diverse environmental issues ranging from global warming, acid rain, and toxic algae blooms. Although the lakes are in Ontario, many of the researchers at the facility are based in Manitoba, where dozens of scientific jobs will be affected. To prevent the station from being closed down, a coalition to save the Experimental Lakes area has been formed to raise support and awareness of the facility. Matt Martins is a graduate student in biological sciences at the University of Manitoba. He's been conducting research at the lakes for the past 2 years. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Josh.
What was your reaction when you first heard that the ELA were going to be closed down?
Well, it was a sad incident, but I wasn't altogether surprised by the closure. We've been seeing these kind of cuts happen in the past year, and it just seemed like ELA was just part of the chopping block of these cuts.
So the Experimental Lakes area has been described as a unique research facility in the world. What makes the Experimental Lakes so unique?
Well, for one thing, at the Experimental Lakes area, it's one of the only places in the world that you can do these whole ecosystem manipulation experiments.
And what's a whole ecosystem experiment?
Let me explain it like this. We kind of consider these whole lakes as our white mice, so to speak. So you can think of these lakes as microcosms to bigger systems. So in this way, we were able to take these lakes, these unperturbed lakes, manipulate them in a manner that we would like to understand something about the water quality of, like we're looking at maybe contaminants or climate change, and then we could apply that to policies and laws pertaining to those issues.
So when you have an experiment that's done on a whole lake, like that, you're able to get a better sense as to how that impacts other ecosystems in Canada and around the world.
Exactly, Josh. By using that data, we can extrapolate that to other scenarios that might be similar internationally or just bigger systems like, say, the Great Lakes.
And I guess as well, the fact that they've been around for 44 years now, since 1968.
Yeah, that's right.
That has an impact as well, because you've got that long-term effect.
Yeah, that's true. So another cool thing about the Experimental Lakes area is that we have one of the longest-standing databases on freshwater and also atmospheric science anywhere in the world. So to shut something down like that would just be a travesty to science.
Over the years, what have been some of the major accomplishments of the ELA?
One of the more renowned studies that have been done in the Experimental Lakes area is research looking at the algal blooms. So we found that by adding phosphorus, excess phosphorus to lakes, that is kind of limiting nutrient that these cyanobacteria or algae use to grow. So by eliminating phosphorus from water treatment, we can reduce these algal blooms. And so that's been used in a lot of policy and law, not only in Canada, but internationally. Some other big studies that have happened at the Experimental Lakes area is looking at the effects of acid rain, what you mentioned before. So the researchers found there that by lowering the pH of a lake, you reduce the parietums that larger organisms such as fish need to thrive in that system. Along with that, there's been a variety of contaminant studies. So there's been looking at the addition of mercury to lakes to understand how these biota or organisms from the lake obtain this contaminant and what happens once they have it in them. Can they excrete it? Can they get rid of this mercury? And also looking at endocrine disruptors, and that's in the form of birth control pills. So a lot of wastewater fallouts have this high concentration of these birth control pills. Well, not birth control pills, but the compounds that come from birth control pills. And what that does is they found that that causes feminization in fish. So it can lead to population crashes. So looking at all these different experiments that we've done at Experimental Lakes over the years, You can easily apply that to policies and laws throughout Canada, and I think that's important in understanding what the best management strategies are to, you know, take care of our water.
And we're seeing some of that policy being implemented right here in Winnipeg when we're talking about the discussion over the relative importance of phosphorus and nitrogen in our wastewater treatment, for example.
Absolutely. So that data would be integral in understanding what best management policy for this nitrogen and phosphorus is. Because, I mean, removing, you know, just only nitrogen or both nitrogen and phosphorus is going to be millions and millions of dollars more expensive than removing phosphorus alone, is what we found in the Experiment Lakes area. And we also find that many of these algae species are actually able to fix nitrogen anyways. So removing nitrogen in the first place wouldn't be altogether effective. So it's definitely important in, you know, affecting policy.
What's the research that you're conducting at the lakes?
So at the Experiment Lakes area, we, as part of our previous mandate, I guess, we were looking at a lot of things to do with aquaculture and fish farming. So the project that I'm looking at is how farmed fish, which escape aquaculture pens pretty regularly in places like Lake Diefenbaker, Lake Huron, how they compare to wild fish of the same species. So I'm looking at a domestic strain and a wild strain of rainbow trout, and I've introduced them into Replicate Lakes, Experiment Lakes area. And I've been monitoring the growth and survival over the summer.
And so that'll help us understand what some of the risks of fish farming are, for example.
Right. So it kind of better describes the competitive differences between both. So maybe so the theory is that these farm fish have the ability to grow at greater rates, but since they do have that greater growth, they spend more time in risky areas and are probably more prone to less survival than the wild fish of the same species.
How will the closure next spring affect your research or some of your colleagues' research?
In terms of my research, most of my field work is pretty much done, but the disappointing thing is that a lot of these bigger studies that that have been going on at the ELA are gonna won't have the opportunity to continue. So we were actually just getting going on a climate change study with numerous investors and different researchers from, you know, across Canada. Also, this nanoparticle silver addition experiment, which is looking at nanoparticles in the environment, which are antibacterial agents that's used in numerous products, such as cleaning products, clothing, and health products. And we don't understand the effects that happen in the environment. And this would have been kind of a novel new study that has never been done before, but now we might not have the opportunity to let that happen at the Experiment Lakes.
So the budget of the Experimental Lakes is fairly modest, something like $600,000 a year.
Yeah.
Why do you think that the federal government wants to shut this down?
I don't believe that it is so much a budget issue as they don't feel like they need the data that we're producing at the Experimental Lakes area. So by changing their mandate, they only consider fish that are commercially, recreationally, or aboriginally important to be relevant under, I guess, the government's umbrella of funding. But if you think about the funding, like you said, it's under $600,000 a year. And at the Experimental Lakes area, we have more than 1,000 peer-reviewed articles, graduate theses, and like technical reports that have come out of the Experimental Lakes in the past 40 years. And so I guess you could say, but you get a pretty good bang for your buck if you're spending, you know, less than $1 million, which is nothing for the budget, and you're getting so much valuable data out of this research institute, it doesn't make sense, really, to be closing such, you know, productive place.
What can listeners do to support the ELA?
There's numerous things you could do to support the ELA. For one thing, we're encouraging people to pressure their MPs. So that would consist of sending letters, emails, We found that the most effective thing is booking a meeting with your MP. Another thing you could do is pressure the key ministers involved in this decision. So that would be Keith Ashfield. He's the Minister of Department of Fisheries and Oceans, or even Stephen Harper. Right now, if you visit saveela.org, you can sign our online petition and our public petition that we're actually going to be submitting to the House of Commons. And you can also get more information. We have a Facebook page and also a Twitter feed at Save the ELA. And actually on Tuesday, June 5th, we are going to be holding a public forum. And that's going to be at 603 Wellington Crescent. And that's going to be from 7 to 9:30. And it's just going to give the public an opportunity to get more information about the Experiment Lakes area, the kind of work we do there, why it's important, and just opportunity to talk to former researchers. I myself will be there to answer questions and just get a better idea about the issue.
Well, thanks so much for coming to speak to us about this important issue.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. It's been a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Matt Martins, a graduate student at the University of Manitoba, about the proposed cuts to the Experimental Lakes area. To find out more about this issue, as Matt said, there will be a public forum next week at the Unitarian Church, 603 Wellington Crescent, featuring scientists and researchers from the Experimental Lake area. The event takes place 7 p.m. Tuesday, June 5th. For more information, go to saveela.org. You are listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.